I want to welcome you as well online, as we are all online today, and many of you attend a campus, and today we're all on the online campus, and I want to add my welcome to you as well. We're glad that you're tuning in and connecting with us as we want to look into God's Word and find some answers and respond to what all of us are experiencing in our lives, in our cities, and in our state, and globally. So there are some of you that are connecting from around the world. The message that we're talking about today is not related to Dayton. It is related to the entire world, and so we're so glad that you're catching this with us as well. For those of you that normally call Fairhaven Church home, I want to say a special greeting to you. I want to say thank you for making sure that your family gathers, that we get to look into God's Word, and as you've experienced worship, I hope that you've already been blessed by the opportunity to listen or maybe even to sing along as we've worshiped here this morning. For those of you that are not from Fairhaven, that are tuning in, I promise you that Jesus, because we're going to be looking at the very words of Jesus, Jesus has something to say to you today. And we could not be more thrilled and honored that you're joining us with us today. I've had lots of questions, so I'm going to answer it right up front. The reality is that as a church, we are under the First Amendment, meaning that we can meet no matter what happens, no matter what the state says, unless there's a martial law. But we have voluntarily chosen to listen to our governor, Governor DeWine, as he has banned all gatherings of more than 100. And the reason why we're doing that truly is love. Because we want to love you, we want to love our families, we want to love our senior adults, we want to love this community to make sure that we as a church are doing our part to be able to keep this virus right now that is spreading fast. We want to make sure that we do our part in it. We are certainly in uncertain times. And for some of you, it might be more uncertain than others. Some of you are very filled with fear today because it's so uncertain that you are filled with fear. Others of you are filled with concern. It may not be fear, but your concern, and maybe your concern is rising, and so how do we respond to that? This pandemic, no one is quite sure what's going to happen next. No one is quite sure what's going to be planned next for us as a culture, as a society, as citizens of this nation. We're concerned, and we don't even know how to be concerned. The reality as we think through what's taking place in our country and world today. What I want to tell you today, though, is that we have hope. And I want to talk about that with you today. As you know, sports events have been canceled, suspended. The NBA has been canceled. The NHL has been canceled or suspended. The MLB has canceled their spring training. NASCAR is holding back their races. The European soccer leagues not only are not playing without fans, they're canceling their games. Masters is being postponed. And I don't know if you know this or not, but it's only happened twice since World War II. That the Masters has ever been postponed. March Madness, our boys here, the Dayton Flyers, who were doing so well and we were so proud of them, that they even are disappointed. We are disappointed for them that they're having to postpone and actually cancel the Final Four and all of the NCAA tournaments. The Boston Marathon is being canceled or at least postponed. The financial markets you've been watching, I mean, the stock market has seen quick ups, and it's seen quick downs. Broadway has canceled all of their shows for at least the next couple of weeks. Concerts are being canceled. The place that's the best, funnest place on the world, Disney World, has closed their doors. There's a run on food. There's a run on toilet paper. States are declaring a state of emergency. As I mentioned, our state, Ohio, has declared a state of emergency. And even our city has declared a state of emergency. Our life, the American life, and maybe even the global life, our life is changing as we know it. The reality is, the buzzword of today is social distancing. And we're trying to figure out what that means. You need to know that as a church, we're making decisions on a, you know, day by day, case by case. And so, as Paul mentioned, we want you to stay connected with us in social media. We want you to stay connected with us in ways where we can make sure that we push information to you. We want to honor our state, and yet we also want to be connected as a church and be influencers in this time where it seems that there is so much uncertainty that's taking place. So here's the question. How do we respond? How do we respond to this uncertainty? Let me give you the short answer, and I just want you to memorize this because this might help you over the next days and weeks. Here's the short answer to how we respond: faith over fear. Our faith must be stronger and must lead, not fear. Faith over fear. Last week, we made a decision that we were not going to go to Israel. Kathy and myself and several of our staff and many from Fairhaven Church from a variety of different campuses, actually, were supposed to travel to Israel, and we were going to spend 10 days in Israel and seeing amazing sights that were there. And of course, you heard that Israel has closed its doors, and so we canceled the trip. I was actually not even supposed to preach this weekend because we're in a series that many of you know if you attend Fairhaven, where we're reflecting and we're pausing and we're confessing and we're taking time to fast, or maybe another way of saying it is I quit. We're quitting a few things in our life. And I wasn't even scheduled to speak. Nathan, our campus pastor from the Beaver Creek campus, was supposed to speak, and he was willing to step aside in order to allow me to share with you from my heart what I believe Jesus wants to say to us today. I've got great news for you. I've got good news for you of hope today, and I hope that you'll grab your Bibles if you have them nearby, or if you want to grab your devices, I've got good news for you that's filled with hope today. It is not found in the American life, even though we are very grateful for that, those of us that live in America. The good news is not found in that. Our hope is found in peace that is offered through Jesus Christ. Peace, and I want to talk about that today because Jesus speaks lots about it. Peace, where Jesus talked with his disciples in the upper room simply a day before he was going to be crucified. And lots had happened in that upper room on that particular evening. Jesus washed the disciples' feet, and he told them that he was leaving and that he was going back to the Father, and they were confused by that. And they wondered, well, can we go with you? And of course, Jesus said, no, you can't go with me, but you're going to be glad that I go because the Father is going to send somebody else to you. And then in that conversation, Judas betrays, and in fact, Jesus says, one of you is going to betray me. And Judas gets up and runs out of the room. There's got to be a lot of uncertainty and confusion in that upper room. Peter said, hey, listen, we're right behind you. And Jesus said, you're going to deny me. There must have been absolute chaos in there. There was fear. There was anxiety. 2,000 years ago, in a situation of uncertainty, Jesus brought his disciples together, as he wants to do, I believe, today. Even though we're online and you're in your homes and hopefully you've got your kids with you, and so that you can pass this down to your kids and make it simpler for them to understand. But faith must be stronger than fear. Faith over fear is the way we respond. And our faith is found with peace. And so I want you to look with me as in the conversation that Jesus had, because he gave his disciples something that we cannot find on our own. He gave his disciples something that the world cannot offer to us, and it's simply peace. See, church, peace is how we have faith over fear. Peace is one of the anchors of our faith. Now, I got to mention right up front here that if you're tuning in with us and you are a Christ follower, you know that you've already made peace with God, meaning that you understood that there was a broken relationship. And the only way for that relationship to be restored is through Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross, that he died in my place and in your place. And so you can have peace with God as you give and surrender your life to Jesus Christ. If you're watching online today and you haven't made that decision, I want to challenge you with everything that I have in these uncertain times, that the way that you can experience the peace of God is to first experience peace with God. It's really simple, because it's really about the sincerity of your heart. You probably have heard all you need to hear. And I want to encourage you to stop right now and maybe just not even listen to the rest of this message, because you can always go back and tune in and follow along later on our app or website. But I simply want to encourage you that if you're at that place where you're not even sure if you are in relationship with God through Jesus Christ, you can simply bow your heads right now and say, Jesus, I invite you into my life. In the uncertainty of the world around, I desire peace. I desire faith over fear. I give you my life. I surrender my life to you that I might have peace with God. Amen. What a great prayer that could be if you prayed that prayer right now. There is the peace with God, but there's also the peace of God. And that's what I want to talk about with you today, the peace of God. How can we experience peace that helps us to have faith over fear? What I want to do with you is to look into the very words of Jesus. In my Bible, they are red, meaning that these are the very words of Jesus. All I'm doing is bringing to you at this time of uncertainty, just out of my heart for us as a church family, looking at the words of Jesus are so profound for us today, simple and yet so profound. I hope you have a Bible with you. And if you don't, you can certainly get your device out. Let me read for you. Let's turn to John chapter 14. John is one of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's in the New Testament, and it's pretty easy to find. But John chapter 14, as I said, Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples, and there was lots going on, lots of drama, lots of uncertainty. And he's there, and he makes some comments. And in his comments, Jesus gives us four things that I want to give to you today, that he reminds us right here in these seven short verses. John chapter 14, beginning in verse 25. Let me read all of it for you, and then what I want to do is to look carefully at it and learn the four things that I believe Jesus wants to say to us as all of us are looking for peace in this situation. Let's read it. John chapter 14, here's what it says. These things I have spoken to you, and Jesus has said a lot about the fact that he's going to be with the Father, and that the Holy Spirit is going to be coming, and that there's somebody that's going to betray him, and that Peter's going to deny him. There's a lot that he said. These things that I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced because I'm going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I am. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, that you may believe. If you like to write in your Bibles or devices, you may want to write right next to believe, that you might have faith over fear. It's right here. Faith over fear. Believe. Verse 30, I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming. Wow. The ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise. Rise. Let us go from here. In these seven verses, Jesus gives us four things that I want to share with you today that I think will help you. I know it's helped me as I've been trying to process this for us as a church family in all the ways that we can think through the uncertainty that's taking place right now. The first thing that Jesus says is this, that peace is available. It's available for you. It's available for me. It is available. The peace of God is available to us. Jesus says to us, while I am still with you. If you circle the word with there, that is the Greek word para. And para means protection against. So when Jesus says, I'm with you, it's a big, big word in the Greek. It means that Jesus is going to protect you against, that God protects us against. Para, I am with you. And then he says, but I'm going to give to you the helper. And the word helper there is the word paraclete. which means the one that's called in to protect you, the one that is called in to protect you against. So I'm going to give to you the helper, the Holy Spirit, who is going to be called in because I'm going back to the Father, and the Holy Spirit's going to be called in. He's going to be the paraclete, where he is going to protect you against all the things that are happening in the world. Now, it doesn't mean that you and I won't have trouble. It doesn't mean that you and I won't experience different things in our life. It means that God can protect us, and the way he does that is through his peace, faith over fear. The word that probably is the easiest to explain, given these two Greek words, para and paraclete, is the word parachute. That there are some people that are brave enough that when they get into a plane, they go up high and they jump out of a plane and they pull a cord and there's a parachute that comes out. And the word parachute simply means protection against falling. That's what that word means. And so it's a word that you and I are familiar with. And Jesus says, I'm going to be with you, but I'm going to send, the Father is going to send the paraclete, the one who's called in to protect against. Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, catch this, is going to be the dispenser of peace. You know, if you come to any one of our physical locations, as we have the opportunity to open back up again, and I don't know if that's going to be next week or in 3 weeks or doesn't matter, we're going to make the decisions, you know, each week, and so stay tuned. But if you were to come into any one of our campuses, you'll see dispensers. We have dispensers so that you can put your hands underneath it and get a solution that will help you. There's going to be hand sanitizers. In fact, if you go anywhere in the community, chances are at the counters there's hand sanitizers, and you just dispense it into your hand and wipe your hands, or people are telling you to go into your bathroom and wash your hands, and that's a great idea. According to the CDC, you should wash your hands on a regular basis and not touch your face. There's all kinds of things. And the truth is that there's some of us that are highly germophobic, that are like, I don't want to touch anything. And that there's others of us that really are not that worried. But when we come into uncertain times, every one of us is looking for something that can anchor our lives, to make sense, to respond to uncertainty that's taking place, whether it's a virus or anything else for that matter. And Jesus says that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is going to be the dispenser of peace. And as he dispenses peace, that peace is going to surpass understanding. Meaning it may be peace that you have on the inside that you can't even make sense of. It's so supernatural that you can't even make sense of it. Paul says to the Philippians that the peace of God will transcend or surpass your knowledge, and it will guard your hearts and mind in Christ Jesus, who gives us the Holy Spirit, who dispenses peace. I find that absolutely amazing. See, peace needs to be the absolute pattern for our life. As we go through these next days and weeks and maybe months, who knows, peace needs to be the pattern of life for the follower of Jesus. You'll notice in these verses that we just read together that the Holy Spirit is going to teach and remind. You know how you teach and remind anybody? You teach and remind while they're going through something. In the parenting world, we call that teachable moments. And what Jesus is saying here to the disciples as they're going through this uncertainty, he says the Holy Spirit is going to teach and remind at the same thing. They're not two different things. The Holy Spirit's going to teach and remind as you go through uncertainty, and he's going to be the dispenser of peace. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18 says that perfect love casts out fear. You might need to refresh your life with just simply the love of God. And let me be clear as I can. As you're sitting in your living room or somewhere else with a TV screen or a computer or whatever it might be, you need to know that God loves you. And it is the love of God that when you find the peace that you can have with God, that love can turn into the peace of God that chases away fear. Maybe today your prayer simply ought to be, Holy Spirit, refresh my heart with love that you might chase out fear. So the first thing Jesus says here is that peace is available. The second thing he says, look at verse 27, is that we don't need to be afraid. Verse 27, let me read it again. It says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Jesus says two things that I think are really helpful in uncertainty. He says this, that his peace is different than what the world offers. And then secondly, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. His peace, incredibly, is the most accurately teaching, the most accurate teaching that we have on peace is found right here in John chapter 14, in the middle of uncertainty as Jesus comes to his disciples and he says, you don't even realize what you're going to face, but it's okay because I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit that's going to dispense peace in your life. You don't have to be afraid. My peace is different than the world's peace, and he wants us to know that today. My parents, my in-laws, actually, they had a home on a lake, and we would love to go there as a family. And when we went there, my father-in-law asked me one day if I would help him to redo the dock that he had there on the lake. And so I helped him. And long story short, we put different flotation devices underneath the dock, and so that it was a floating dock, so that it wasn't just sitting there attached to the floor of the river there, or attached to some other thing. It was just simply a floating dock. And what was interesting to me is we would sit in the house when there were windy, rainy, blowing days where the water was completely at unrest and there was all kinds of things taking place. And that floating dock would just simply float on the surface and it was calm. You could see that it didn't matter what was happening around. Trees would be coming down, sometimes branches because it was right on the water there. Boats would be running for the shore and yet that dock would just be floating like this. And that's the image that I want you to have. When Jesus says, my peace I give to you, not as the world. Biblical peace is unrelated to our circumstances. Biblical peace is the foundation of our lives. Biblical peace is the goodness of a relationship with God that is not touched by our circumstances and situations around us. World peace, on the other hand, is the lack of war. World peace is when you have a shelter that you can run to. World peace, the world's peace, is when you have good health care or good insurance. The world's peace is when you have a strong retirement or a good 401k or a strong insurance. The world's peace is when you have a safety net, when you have a plan B and maybe even a plan C. The world's peace is when there's law and order. Now, let me just say quickly, I am very thankful for all of these, and I'm glad that all of them exist, but, listen to what Jesus says. My peace is totally different than the world's. And why does he say that? Because apart from God, there is no peace. Apart from God, there is no peace that you and I can have in our lives. Jesus' peace is so different. And so then he says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Let me shorten that. Fear not. Do you realize that fear not is the most used phrase in the entire Bible? It's used 365 times. If you were to search the Bible from cover to cover, you would discover that the word fear not is used 365 times. And you would have to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 15 in order to find the first occasion to where God says, fear not, don't be afraid, which is what Jesus is saying to these disciples, which is what I believe he's saying to us today. Don't be afraid. Fear not. See, in Genesis chapter 15, Abram, who had not become Abraham yet, Abram was told to go to a country that he didn't even know about. He was told that he needed to do this and do that, and there were lots of doubts. We can read the story, and there's lots of doubts that are there. He had questions. There was uncertainty. There was fear when he went into Egypt, and he introduced his wife as his sister. And he lied, and there was all kinds of uncertainty. In the middle of all of that, God says to Abraham, fear not. Don't be afraid. You see, Jesus is saying that peace is available, and secondly, don't be afraid. And then the third thing he says right here in these words is this, trust God's faithfulness. I am so thankful for God's faithfulness in my life. And I want to tell you, no matter where you're at in your life, on the other side of this TV camera here, I want you to know that God's faithfulness to you is not determined by your faithfulness to Him. And I don't know about you, but that's great news right there. God's faithfulness, trust in God's faithfulness. He said in verse 28, you heard me say to you, Jesus said an awful lot. He says, I'm going and then I'm going to come back. Did you read that in what he said? I'm going, but I'm coming back. And if you love me, rejoice because I'm going to my Father. And then he says, the ruler of this world is coming. Guess who that is? That is the enemy. That is Satan himself, because Satan comes in times of uncertainty and fear and deception are his greatest tools. It's no wonder that the half-brother of Jesus, James, says that we need to resist the enemy, resist the devil, and flee from him. What I find interesting is that most people's pursuit of peace really is an attempt to get away from the problem. The problem with what we're dealing with right now is, where do you go? Where can you go to be away from the fear of this virus? I don't have any answers. I don't even know if the experts have any answers. All I know is that as a follower of Jesus Christ, I can trust in God's faithfulness. The image that I have in my hand is this. I remember when my sons were little, and I remember that when I would reach down and grab their hand, that my grip on their hand was a lot stronger than when they reached up and grabbed my hand, because their hands were much smaller. Their hands were much, they didn't have as much strength in their hands. But when I put my hand around it, the Father's hand around my son's hand, and I took a grip of it, then he was secure. And I could walk with him across the street, and he was secure. I could take him through water as he was learning how to swim, and he would be secure. I could be with him when he was riding his bike for the first time, and he would be secure. That's the image that I want you to have here when Jesus says the enemy is coming, but you can trust the faithfulness of God. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Of course, the question that comes to my mind is, how do I trust God's faithfulness? Let me give you a couple things to think through real quick, because I want us over this next week to reflect on all of this. Peace is available. Don't be afraid. Trust in God's faithfulness. How do you do that? Well, you trust in God's faithfulness by leaning on the supernatural peace. Paul, in talking to the Colossians, he said this, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. He's not giving a command there. He's actually giving a plea. There's a plea that says, here's what you need to do. You need to lean on the supernatural peace that God gives you and allow peace to work into your life. Allow peace to be the center place, the anchor, so that you might have faith over fear in your life. So lean on supernatural faith. That's how you can trust in God's faithfulness. The second thing that you can do is to spend more time with Him. As you spend more time with God, it causes your mind to be focused on the perfect peace that He wants to dispense in your life through the Holy Spirit. That when you spend time with this, with Him, it causes you to be distracted off of the problem. And so spend time with Him in prayer. Spend more time in reading. And get this, spend more time being wise. Yeah, I said it. Be wise. That wisdom is actually a byproduct of supernatural peace in your life. That you can make a lot better decisions when you trust God's faithfulness in your life. Isaiah chapter 26 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. In other words, when you're focused on him and when you spend the time and focus, fear dissipates in your life. Thirdly, here's how you can trust God. You can serve. Find a way to serve. And we'll talk about that at the very end here, because Jesus gives us an inspiring statement that you and I, in fact, he says this, be the church. Peace is available. Don't be afraid. Trust God's faithfulness, but be the church. Look at verse 31. This is my favorite part of this passage as I have been reading this over and over again for the last number of days as I had little time to prepare for this message and just saying, God, what do you want to say to me? What do you want to say to us in here? And I didn't see this before. It was there, but I had never seen this. This is how verse 31 ends. It says this, rise, let us go from here. And on the one hand, I guess you could say that Jesus is saying, okay, we're done with the upper room, let's go for a walk. Scholars actually say that there is more to this statement than simply, let's just leave the room. Scholars are saying that Jesus is, after he's taught about peace and talked about all the things that we just mentioned, that he says, rise, let us go from here, be the church. Listen to what Jesus is saying here. Rise, let us go from here. Be carriers of peace. Let the Holy Spirit dispense peace in your life, but then be carriers of peace. That throughout history, have you noticed that throughout history, that many of the church's finest hours have come in the middle of desperate circumstances? Many of the finest hours of the church over history has been in uncertain times where faith emerges. Faith over fear because of the peace of God. You could go back to 251 AD where there was a Roman plague and the plague almost destroyed the entire Roman Empire. And if you go back and look at history books, you'll see that most of the people fled towns like Carthage. They just ran out of town. They wanted to get away as far as they could from the plague, and so they ran. They took off, leaving the elderly, leaving the suffering, leaving the sick. But you know who stayed in the courts of the center square of the towns? You know who stayed to help the people who were sick? You know who served the people that were there in the community? It was the Christians, it was the Christ followers that said, let us be the ones that God could use. May we be the carriers of peace. In 251 AD, let's fast forward lots and lots of years. How about 1793 in Philadelphia? Look it up for yourself. In 1793, the yellow fever gripped the city of Philadelphia. And people didn't know what to do. In fact, historian Richard Newman writes that the yellow fever epidemic was a public health crisis. And so you know what people did? They fled Philadelphia. They left town. They got out of there. And yet Richard Allen, he took the church, primarily the African-American church, and said, no, we're going to stay and we're going to help. We're going to give help to those who are suffering. And Richard Allen, with the followers of Jesus, were heartbroken over the suffering and those that were sick. All right, let's fast forward. How about Dayton, Ohio? 2019, tornado hit Dayton, Ohio, 13 of them to be exact. There were 200 plus people that were injured. 360 houses and apartments and commercial buildings in the Beaver Creek area were destroyed. 1,400 or more trees were down in Dayton streets, and there were 59 Trotwood structures that were destroyed. And do you know who responded to that? It was the church. Fairhaven, well done. We, alongside many other churches in the community, we helped to pick up trees, and we helped to give food, and we helped provide water, and volunteers cleaned up, and we gave $60,000 out of our own monies in order to help those that were there. It was the Christians that came, the church that rose up and did something about it. Fast forward, last week, Nashville. A tornado hit Nashville. And you know who helped? It was the church. The church rose up and put tarps on roofs and clearing trees and giving gift cards and construction supplies. You know why? Because this is what Jesus says. Rise up. Let us go from here. Our faith, supported by peace, overcomes fear. It helps us to move on and to serve and to sacrifice. Good deeds go a long way. That's how we can be carriers of peace. Let us rise up and let us go from here because peace is available. Don't be afraid. trust in God's faithfulness, and then be the church. What I want to do with you as we close here today is I want to spend some time in prayer. You know that our president called today, this Sunday, a day of prayer. And I think that's a good thing to do, given all that we're experiencing. And so right there in your homes, I'm just going to ask you to bow your heads, not because it's a more spiritual posture, but because of the desire that you want to humble yourself before God. And may I lead us as we pray together in hundreds, maybe thousands of locations, as you're on the other end of this camera. Let's experience the peace of God and ask for his assistance and mercy. Would you bow with me as we pray? Father, I thank you that we get the opportunity today to worship you and to read the very words of Jesus. Lord, I pray for people who are filled with fear, anxiety, maybe not even about the virus. Maybe it's about their finances. Maybe it's about their family. Maybe it's about something else. Sports that aren't being able to play. Different things that people aren't being able to participate in. It creates fear. And I pray in Jesus' name that by your Holy Spirit, that you would dispense peace to us right now. I pray, Lord, for those that are in the healthcare industry, doctors and physicians, and nurses and nurses' aides and physician assistants and all the people that are working very, very hard, the experts who are trying to find a vaccine. I pray, God, that you would, by your mercy, that you would help us. I pray, Father, that you would protect us, that you would be our paraclete, that you would be called into our lives, Father, to protect against the things of this world. Help us to experience that kind of peace. I pray, Father, for those that are on the other end of this camera, Father, who may not know who you are, that today might be the day when they experience Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for our nation. We pray for the world. We pray for countries like Italy and other places where there are people that seemingly are dying every hour. And so, Father, we ask that you would, by your hand of mercy, that you would have grace upon us. I pray for every family, that you would help us, Lord, as we try to navigate all of the uncertainty of what should we do, where should we go. I pray, God, that you would give us wisdom in these moments of real concern. Thank you, Father, that we can turn to you. Thank you that we can place our trust in you, who is a faithful, faithful God. Help us now that we would rise up, that we would be optimistic, and that we would be dispensers of peace to the people around us, that we would help them to see that you are a God that's sovereign. This didn't catch you by surprise. God, you know, and you have a plan, and may we be part of that plan, not only for our city here in Dayton, but for our state and for the world around us. We ask that you would use us. We pray these things in Jesus' name, and wherever you're at, would you say, Amen.